Celtics Tonight, presented by Star Market, continues from TD Garden. I think it's TD Garden. The back and forth continues for another week or so. Our conversation with the head coach, brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. It occurred to me you need an app that you can just check on the various health and wellness of your particular squad at any given hour, because it seems like that would sort of save you time. That you wouldn't have to think about or ponder all these different combinations. I just think you're bound and determined to talk about your starting lineup every night.
Every time I get a text from Art Horn or Johan in the morning, I'm just like, oh, no. Here we go.
Hey, how you feeling, coach? Did you go for a run today?
Or? Yeah, that's right. It's never like, how are you doing? No. And you know what was funny? I actually talked to Art about this. Nobody ever asked Art how he's doing.
That's right.
You know, like, he's probably dealing with some stuff. Whatever, we're ready to play with the guys that are here.
All right, we'll get into those combinations here in a second. I don't even know where to start sometimes on Saturday. It was pretty clear right away. I mean, first possession or two that you were locked in your terminology. But we've seen games like that, and it's very hard to sustain that for virtually an entire game. And yet, I guess this is what happens when you stay locked in for 48 minutes.
Well, yeah, I thought it was an interesting deal because, you know, they cut it to 12 or 14 towards the end of the first half, and then we went on that 7 or 9-0 run right at the end of the half. And I think that those are the plays that really separate games where you play the full 48. You respond to any small run that they have, and that's what we did over and over. And it was fun to see our guys play like that, and, you know, now we move forward.
All right, let me bring up the old quote-unquote running up the score thing, because it's interesting to me. I have enough years now in the league where the three-pointer has evolved in so many different ways. But there was a time in this league when you're up by 20 or 25 points or 30 points or whatever it is, when the game has been decided, that teams weren't shooting threes. But now it seems it is such a second nature part of the game, it seems almost, even if you wanted to stop, I mean, how do you stop?
You know, it's up to our guys to play our system and play to their strengths throughout the course of the game. A lot of those guys haven't played up to that point, or at least some of them haven't. You know, that's the other thing is we didn't really
have any.
Bad luck
with the guys, yeah.
We just didn't have any subs that, you know, as far as numbers, we still had some guys that are in our core group still playing. And I think that that's just a unique aspect of having a few guys out and having a team as deep as this. But I don't want to ask guys to play differently. Yeah. You know, I did want us to hold it out there with 40 seconds left or whatever, but I did not do a good job communicating that. But then, you know, at the end of the day, you know, all of us would rather that game be done with 3 minutes to go and you don't have to use the last media timeout than whatever happens at the end with the score and hopefully, knock on wood, no injuries and those types of things.
On a night like this with everybody out and, you know, as many people out as there are, what becomes your options eventually become limited, and there were games like last year, I think it was a Washington game sort of in March, in which literally everybody was out. You almost had no choices. What is your priority now that you're down, that the 10, 11 guys that you're used to using is down to 6 or 7, in terms of not so much the starting five, because I will never ask you about the starting five, but in terms of combinations of players, I mean, what is the priority looking at the roster you have available?
All 10 got to be ready to go. And when we called up P.J. Dozier at 11 o'clock this morning or whatever it was, we were still, you know, sitting at maybe 11 or 12. But he's got to be ready to go as number 10, you know. And he hasn't been here other than for a three-minute stint a couple of weeks ago since October. So welcome to the world of professional sports. You better be ready when your number is called. And, you know, Rob just got back from Texas where – he was taking a little bit of personal time, which was excused and for good reason. But, hey, it's time to play.
He's not getting any sleep these days anyway, so he
might
as well get ready to play. All right, the Pelicans, they played yesterday in Detroit. And before we get to the content of that game, the guy that you and I always talk about whenever we see this team, when a game like that happens, it's rare that a team that you're about to play is playing when you are not practicing or not playing a game. How do you take it in? Are you watching it live, or is it more productive for you to watch – an edited version the way you would watch in a normal situation preparing for a game?
Sometimes I watch it live. Oftentimes when they're night games, I watch it live. That was an afternoon game.
Right.
And we did have a film session as a team, so we had watched what they had done up to that point, and then we, you know, just clipped up a couple of the things that they tried to do wrinkle-wise in that game in particular. But my afternoon was spent watching my daughter in a play. And so after film, I had to go straight to the to the theater to watch a play for an hour and a half, and then I watched it on film afterwards.
How was she?
It was great. I mean, it was great. You know, and that's just – it's the absolute best. That's why somebody said, how are these breaks, you know, for getting your rhythm back as a team and practicing and everything else? These breaks are great to see your family.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's
right.
It. You know?
You and I have been pretty consistent. Listen, you're going to get asked a million questions about Anthony Davis. Everyone knows what Anthony Davis can do and what he has done in this league. You and I have been pretty consistent in our admiration for Jrue Holiday. And yesterday, particularly during the segment of the game when Anthony Davis got hurt, he took that knee from Blake Griffin and left for a while. I mean, Jrue Holiday is one of those guys in the league who can take over a game, yet nobody talks about him as a guy that can take over a game.
They've got two guys like that. They got him and Randall.
And
outside of Davis, obviously. And both those guys are just, for their position, really hard to guard because there's such a physical force that they play with. And, you know, I think when Jrue Holiday gets over the pick to his left hand, he is so hard to stop going downhill. He can draw contact. He can finish a bunch of different ways. You know, there's all kinds of things that guy can do with a basketball. And then Randall is, you know, he's just a hard guy to guard. They play him at the top of the key a lot where he can go one-on-one and just lower his shoulder and go. And, you know, we're going to have to do that by committee, and the committee is a little smaller. So that will be something that will really challenge us.
Now, we've been doing this so long, my next thing was going to be about Randall, and I wrote the word force.
Oof.
Next to Randall, but now we've
covered that.
We speak each other's spoken language.
We've covered that.
How was the, what was the play?
Junie B. Jones.
And she played?
She played the character May, and it was just a blast. You know, I never was. I was in the school plays occasionally because I was told I had to be, but she loves it, and it's not something that I'm used to doing, is going to plays and theater projects and those type of things. And so I really, really enjoyed that. Seeing her find a great deal of passion doing it.
Who told you had to be in a play? Was it like a,
I don't remember.
Parental thing? Like you have to be in a play?
I think everybody was in the class, you know, those
really?
Types of things, yeah.
And yet all those that performance, why doesn't it translate to this segment? All that time you spent acting and performing.
Well, if everybody has to be, I'm not sure.
Maybe that's where you developed your resentment.
That's right. That's right.
All this extra stuff.
That's right.
Celtics and Pelicans next on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.